Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we begin our presidential election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days. Let others focus only on the horse race. We will explore an issue a show for 30 shows between now and the election. You can see our 30 Issues gallery at wnyc.org/issues. And this is not just a radio series, we should say. We also have a collaboration with longform.org featuring great articles to read about each of our themes. And the WNYC Data News team is posting interactive visualizations and graphics and other tools to illuminate the issues. We have the first one of those up, all at wnyc.org/issues, beginning right now. Issue number one, The Victims of 2008. How do we help the long-term unemployed? Of course, everyone says this election is about jobs, jobs, jobs. And we want to start the series with a specific jobs issue that recognizes the suffering of millions of Americans who are, in a way, special victims of the financial crisis of 2008, the long-term unemployed. As of June, for example, more than 40% of people out of work in this country were listed as being so for more than 6 months. We'll talk to David Leonhardt from The New York Times in just a minute, former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, and the Republican-leaning economist Diana Forscott-Roth. But I will start by inviting that group of you onto the air. If you have been unemployed for a year or more at any time since 2008, the phones will be yours for this first part of the hour at 212-433-WNYC. Tell us what you used to do, why it's been so hard to get back into the workforce, how you finally did, if you did, and what you want from policy. 212-433-WNYC. How can the government help? 212-433-9692. And again, as we talk to David Leonhardt, we will take these calls from you if you were out of work for more than a year at any time since 2008, including currently. 212-433-9692. Tell us what you used to do, why it's been so hard to get back into the workforce, how you finally did, if you did, and what you want from policy or politics. 212-433-9692. And with me now is David Leonhardt, the New York Times Washington Bureau Chief, who used to write the Economic Scene column. Hi, David. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hello, Brian. It's always a pleasure.
And who are these special victims of 2008? Do they tend to be people of a certain age or for certain lines of work, or demographically, who are they?
Well, interestingly enough, they are somewhat more female than you might expect, which is to say they are only slightly more than half male. The workforce as a whole is more than slightly half male. The unemployed as a whole are more than slightly half male. So it's interesting that we see significant numbers of women in that group. Now, that could be because of this technical technical feature of the unemployment numbers, in which if you've given up looking for work, you're no longer counted as unemployed. So I think when we're thinking about this for the purposes of your show, I would say we want to think about the long-term unemployed as including people who are not officially unemployed, right? People who've given up looking for work but who still very much would like to work if they could find it. People in that category count. And I'll just make one more short point here, which is that unlike past recessions, the pain of this recession has been much more concentrated than in the past, which is to say that we have actually, given the rate of unemployment, we have had fewer layoffs than you would expect, but we have also had fewer hiring. So instead of having a situation in which there are lots of people who have been out of work for 3 months at a time, we instead have a situation in which there are fewer people who have been out of work for extremely long periods of time. We've concentrated the pain among the long-term unemployed. And that's, I think, really a reason to focus on this problem. These people have borne the brunt of this downturn in a way that is even more intense than is typical.
Let's take a call. Paul in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I used to work for a large international investment bank located in Stamford, Connecticut, that some might consider an organized crime family. But as far as policy of our government is concerned, I've been out of work for over 3 years, and I used to support the CDS, credit default swap trading desk. As far as policies of our government are concerned, number one, the unemployment numbers that are given out by our government are absolutely false. And
I don't want to get into that right now. I want to hear your story and how you adjusted to being unemployed for a long time and got back and what you want from policy.
How did I adjust? I basically cut out all extraneous spending, shut down, and only bought the essentials for me and my family.
Did you get retraining or anything, or did you re-enter in a different industry than you left?
Excuse me?
Did you re-enter in a different industry than you left?
No, I am not currently working, and I have been looking on and off of work during those 3 years.
And is there anything that you would want from government, especially from federal policy, since this is a presidential election context that we're talking about this in?
Sure. First of all, I'd like to see an example of someone prosecuted for ageism and keeping people over 50 out of the workforce. Second of all, I'd like to see funds for retraining of older workers. If these jobs are not coming back, then I'd like to see some help from the government to retrain for the jobs of the future for people of all ages. And I'd also like to see tax deduction for hiring back people over the age of 50.
Thank you.
There's a large block of mm-hmm. people that are between 45 and 60 that are just being excluded automatically from interviewing based on their age.
Paul, thank you so much. And so to that point, David Leonhardt, are people in their 50s and early 60s a special needs population in this area? It seems to me that they probably are the most likely to get laid off because they're relatively high paid, least likely to be hired at lower wages or for retraining because they'll be seen as either set in their ways or expecting a better wage than they're going to get. And plus their health insurance costs are the highest, but they're too young to qualify for Medicare.
I would say yes and no. I think that the over 50 population is a special needs population in the sense that as the caller really hit on nicely, there are a lot of people out there who trained for one kind of job when they were young and then find themselves in an economy that doesn't have enough of those kinds of jobs. And you can't reasonably expect people who do that to immediately be able to turn on a dime out of their own resources. You can't expect all of them to then get trained for the new kinds of work and be able to do it. And there is a big problem with people who lose their jobs in their 50s and often struggle to work again. So that's the yes part. The no part is this downturn, as hard as it's been on people in their 50s, has been the hardest on younger people. So you look at the increases in the unemployment rate, you look at the hit to income, it has been highest both on those people who are kind of a decade away from retirement, and it's been even higher for people who are in their 20s and 30s. And so that although it's true that if a business was going to be ruthless about it and say, where are our biggest costs? Ooh, they're these expensive 50-year-olds. In fact, many of them lay off 20 and 30-year-olds. They don't know them as well. They're more reluctant to hire people who are unproven. And so we sort of have two different special needs populations here. We have both the people who are maybe a decade, 5-15 years from retirement, but we also have younger workers who have taken an enormous hit in this downturn.
Interesting. And the caller talked about retraining and that he would want retraining programs particularly to help him for older workers. So to get to the candidates' positions, Romney seems to want employer credits tied to retraining long-term unemployed people that businesses hire. The Obama position seems to be more to give tax credits or cash payments to businesses just for hiring people who are long-term unemployed. Romney wants to see these credits tied to retraining, but at the same time, he seems to advocate ending a lot of federal retraining programs as ineffective and just giving that money as retraining block grants to the states. Are you familiar with these differences?
Yeah, I am. And And he is right that there is a lot of room for criticism of the history of federal retraining programs. Just a lot of them have not worked. A lot of federal ones haven't worked. A lot of corporate ones haven't worked. A lot of the for-profit colleges that have tried to move into this space, a lot of their programs haven't worked. And so I guess I would say that I think he is absolutely fair to criticize the history of retraining programs as not being all that impressive. But it's not clear to me how a block grant to the state is necessarily a solution, right? This is not a situation in which the federal government has been bad at retraining and other people have been good, and so we want to move it away from the federal government. It's more of a history in which there's just a lot more failure than success. And so I guess the question I would have is, why should we have confidence that the states are going to be better at this than the federal government? I would want to look and see, what do we know about what's worked with retraining and what hasn't, and what substantive lessons can we draw about how future retraining programs, regardless of who's running them, might do better than past ones.
30 Issues in 30 Days, our presidential election series. Issue number one, how do we help the long-term unemployed? We'll talk later in this segment with Robert Reich from the Clinton administration, and of course, public policy commentator, and Diana Furchgott-Roth, who is more of a, let's say, conservative-leaning Robert Reich, and she used to work for the first Bush administration. Right now we're with David Leonhardt, Washington bureau chief for the New York Times and former economics columnist there, as we get some of the lay of the land of the facts of this issue. And Bud in Wallingford, Connecticut, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, hello. Thank you. And I wanted to say that the first caller you had in there really touched on a lot of the pain that I've been feeling. I'm a Lean Six Sigma process engineer. And about 4 years ago, I used to help people in corporations identify their opportunities for optimizing the processes so that they could involve their employees with a concept we call insourcing, which means keep the job in the American market in that company instead of outsourcing. So what happened then is 2008, I guess everything just really got shook up. And I've never gone back to that kind of work, no matter how hard I've tried. But here's my thing today is that because I was a senior individual, and I'm 60-plus years old, because I was a senior individual, interviewers look at me, and what's worse, even these third-party agencies, like, well, I don't want to say anyone to single them out, but, you know, they hire for companies, and they really discriminate against age, or they'll say, well, why would you take a lesser rate because you have all these skills? And my response is typically, well, I would really like to pay my bills, and I realize that I'm taking less money, and I realize that I'm cutting back, but, geez, wouldn't the employer really like to get somebody with my skill set at such a bargain? So, and the last thing I have to say about is I really think that something needs to be done about repositioning, resourcing people's skills. But I don't think that the government, the federal or the state government, should be involved. I have a horror story about that, but I'll leave that alone unless you ask me.
But I'm going to leave it alone just for time, but I really appreciate all that you did tell us. And I'm going to move right from Bud to another caller as we hear from people who've been unemployed for more than a year at any time since 2008. Beth in Patchogue, you're on the air. Hi, Beth.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Okay, so I've been unemployed since June 2011. I started teaching when I was like 48. And because of my technology skills, you know, they took me on. I received my business certification through the state. And, you know, because of the last in, first out laws, I was laid off in 2011. And presently what I'm doing is I'm doing contract work as much as I can. And I'm also an adjunct at a local college here. I have to tell you, it's been very difficult. I mean, I plan on staying in education, but I see myself moving off more into instructional design for, like, corporations, and that's what I'm doing. I'm downloading what I'm doing at home and at work at the college is I'm downloading trial versions of all these e-learning softwares and trying to, you know, create a knowledge base in each one of those programs.
And I'll bet when you thought at age 48, and you made a transition to teaching, that you were going from something maybe more glamorous to something less glamorous, but a good work and secure?
Well, you know what? That's very true. And I have to say that, unfortunately, being in the public school system, I did lose a lot when it came to my technology skills. Of course, technology has changed within the last 5 years, unbelievably, but I always was able to keep up and be right on the cutting edge of a lot of different technology skills, and myself losing those as I was in the public school, but right. I tried to stay up. But, yeah.
Beth, thank you very much. So, David Leonhardt, in terms of which kinds of jobs went away, and we talked about some of the other demographics, the latest jobs numbers seem to reflect that the biggest loss of jobs in the last year, correct me if I'm reading this wrong, has been among teachers. Since the end of the stimulus and the weakness of state and local government revenues, creeping since 2008. You think that's right?
I haven't seen those exact numbers, but it's consistent with other numbers I have seen, which is one of the things that really marks this last, it's not just a recession, it's now recession and recovery, this five-year period as different, is the enormous shrinking of government jobs. If government jobs in recent years had followed the pattern that they followed in the 2000s, we'd have something like 1 million or 1.5 million more jobs in the economy than we do today. If they'd followed the pattern that they did in the 1980s, we would have 2 million more jobs than we do. We have seen really big cutbacks at the state and local level. The worst of the pace of the cutbacks is over, but we actually are still losing jobs at the state and local level. It's not the whole problem, but it's a substantial part of the jobs deficit.
In fact, I want to draw listeners' attention to the fact that in this 30 Issues and 30-Day series, one of the features that we'll have on our website every day is a data news graphic for each of our themes. And the one that's up there today for this issue number one is a chart comparing recessions in the last 40 years, which illuminates visually the large percentage of jobs lost compared to past recessions and the slowness to return to the pre-recession number of jobs. This is one reason we have such a large number of long-term unemployed. And you get a real sense from this chart of how much worse this recession is when shown visually like that. Listeners, you can see it at wnyc.org/issues. So, David Leonhardt, is it because this was a recession caused by a banking and credit crisis as opposed to some other reason?
Yes, that's a big part of the reason. Financial crises, when you have people take on too much debt, whether it's businesses or people, and then the bubble pops, people are really slow to come back. That's the long history of this. Some of your listeners you may have even had them on your show. Some of your listeners have probably heard about this book by Ken Rogoff and Carmen Reinhart, often the shorthand, the Rogoff-Reinhart theory, which is that it takes 5 or 6 years in a typical crisis for the unemployment rate to even stop rising. We're ahead of schedule because we had a really aggressive policy response in many ways, at least in 08 and 09. It's been less aggressive in 2010 and beyond. But yeah, and then you lay on top of that some longer-term structural problems, which is we have had a real slowdown in the skill formation of our workforce. So the main thing is the crisis. I want to be clear about that. The main thing is the huge drop-off in demand. But you then layer on top of that the fact that we our rate of educational attainment increases, they've really slowed. And so you look at a metropolitan area like Washington, like Boston, like Minnesota, highly educated metro areas, they still have unemployment rates around 6%. College graduates as a whole have an unemployment rate of 4%. And we have not been as quickly as we used to moving people from the less educated to the more educated bin. And when you move from that first bin to the second, you move into a bin without, it's not that there's no unemployment, as I'm sure people know among college graduates, but there's much, much less. So it's first the crisis, and then it's second these structural problems.
Again, listeners, you can see that data news graphic comparing 40 years of recessions at wnyc.org/issues. And we thank David Leonhardt, former economics columnist, now the Washington Bureau Chief for the New York Times, for starting us off. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Brian.
And we'll continue in a minute with clips of both Obama and Romney on their policies aimed at helping the long-term unemployed. And we'll talk to Robert Reich and Diana Furchgott-Roth. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And if you're just joining us, it's the debut today of our presidential election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days. Let others obsess only on the horse race. See all 30 issues at WNYC.org/issues. We've posted questions for all 30, so you can get the conversations going in advance of their radio days, WNYC.org/issues, and see the infographic we were talking about before. We continue with issue number one, the victims of 2008. How do we help the long-term unemployed? Tomorrow, by the way, number two, who would be better for economic growth? Which candidate? We'll get 2 points of view now on how to help the long-term unemployed. First, from former U.S. Labor Secretary under President Clinton, Robert Reich, then economist Diana Furchgott-Roth, who served the first President Bush. First, here are clips of both President Obama and Governor Romney on the issue. Romney first. This is from a Fox News primary debate last August, a year ago, reacting this way to a question about extending unemployment benefits.
Surely we're going to help those people who can't find other ways to care for themselves. But the most important thing we're talking about tonight is making sure that President Obama is replaced by someone who knows how to get this economy going again. That's what this debate is really about, and that's what the American people want to understand. Unemployment benefits, I think they've gone on a long, long, long time. We have to find ways to reduce our spending on a lot of the anti-poverty programs and unemployment programs. But I would far rather see a reform of our unemployment system to allow people to have a personal account which they're able to draw from, as opposed to having endless unemployment benefits. So again, let's reform the system, make the system work better by giving people responsibility for their own employment opportunities and having that account, rather than doling out year after year more money from an unemployment system.
Mitt Romney from August of last year will follow up on those personal unemployment accounts and spending less on anti-poverty programs ideas. Here's President Obama from a University of Virginia speech in September of last year promoting his American Jobs Act, a second stimulus which Congress has not passed.
Passing this bill will give companies a tax credit for hiring anybody who spent more than 6 months looking for work. And there are a lot of folks like that. This has been a terrible recession. And you know, I get letters from folks, and they write to me about what it's like month after month, writing letters, sending out resumes, knocking on doors. And folks get discouraged. And when they get discouraged, at some point they drop out of the labor force. And it's very hard for them then to get reattached. And you've got some employers now, if you've been out of work for a long time, even if they're looking for a job, or even if they're looking to hire, a lot of times they'll say, well, you've been out of work too long. I'm not sure we want to hire you, which is not fair. It's not right. So this bill will help people on unemployment insurance to do temporary work to build skills while looking for a full-time job. And we should extend unemployment insurance for another year, not only is the right thing to do, not only is the right thing to do for those families, but if we cut off unemployment insurance right now, that's money that millions of unemployed folks can't spend on their basic needs. So that money comes out of the economy. That means businesses have fewer customers, and the economy for everybody, including those who have work, will shrink.
So we heard the president and Governor Romney from speeches or talks they gave a year ago. The White House blog also says, by the way, in the Jobs Act, that they would propose wage insurance to assist workers whose new job pays less than their old, and also job search assistance for all long-term unemployed and support for unemployed workers looking to become entrepreneurs. So let's get 2 points of view on all this. Robert Reich, former Clinton labor secretary, now at UC Berkeley as a public policy professor. His latest book is Beyond Outrage. Secretary Reich, welcome back to WNYC. Thank you very much for joining us.
Well, I'm delighted.
So how would you characterize the difference between the two candidates on helping the long-term unemployed?
Well, I don't want to delve into partisan politics by in any way criticizing Governor Romney, but there's not much there with regard to helping the unemployed, particularly the long-term unemployed. The president has proposed two things that I think are very important. One are tax credits for employers who hire people who have been unemployed for more than 6 months. That is an appropriate incentive because, as the president said, employers are reluctant to hire the long-term unemployed for fear that the long-term unemployed no longer have the habits that are necessary to work well. And to some extent, that may be right. That's why employers need a little bit of an extra incentive, and these tax credits could work. Some experiments suggest that they have worked in the past. We need to at least try them. The second is wage insurance, and that's something that the White House is now talking about. That would essentially provide people with some of the difference between the salary that they had on a high-paying job that they lost and a new job they had to take that pays less. Other countries have experimented with wage insurance very successfully, and why not? I mean, it's better than simply sitting there collecting unemployment insurance. If it gets somebody back into the workforce where they can learn on the job and gain on the job skills, even if they have had to take a new job that pays less than the old job, that's better than nothing. I would go on to one third item that the president has not yet proposed, but I think might be useful, Brian, and that is reviving the Works Projects Administration, the Civilian Conservation Corps, both two programs from the New Deal that put long-term unemployed back to work, helping repair the nation's infrastructure, rebuild public parks, do all sorts of things that were necessary, but again, better than simply collecting unemployment insurance.
On the first item that you mentioned, giving employers incentives to hire the long-term unemployed, Huffington Post had an article in June with the headline, Obama-Romney campaigns have similar proposals for long-term jobless. And it was about this aspect. And it noted that Romney has proposed a program, or at least Romney started a program as governor of Massachusetts, to give employers $2,000 training grants if they hire people out of work at least 6 months. So then the Obama campaign noted that Congress has passed one of the president's programs called the Hire Act that gives a payroll tax break and a $1,000 credit to employers to hire and keep a long-term unemployed worker. So are they similar on this as far as you could tell?
Romney has not made this particular proposal on the campaign trail. As governor of Massachusetts, he did have something similar. He was governor of Massachusetts beginning in 2003. The economy was not doing all that badly in 2003, so it wasn't very much of an incentive and very much of an experiment. I frankly don't know where Governor Romney stands on this right now.
What about the Romney clip that we played from one of the primary debates last year, where he talked about allowing people to have personal accounts, which they're able to draw from, as opposed to having an endless unemployment stream of benefits in the traditional sense. What's your reaction to that?
Well, the devil is in the details. It depends on how much these accounts are worth and what they can do with the accounts. Look, people who are long-term unemployed, they need several things. In the short term, they need some income just to simply keep going. And if they do have that income, if they do have unemployment insurance, they can turn around and buy stuff, and that keeps other people in jobs. Now, right now, under our present laws, 40% of people who are unemployed do not qualify for unemployment benefits at all across the country. And that's mainly because they haven't been in work long enough or in a full-time job long enough to qualify once they lose that work or that job. And that's, I think that's a gigantic hole in our safety net, Brian. One thing we ought to do immediately is try to repair that hole and make sure that if somebody is working or had been working in, let's say, two or three jobs part-time and loses two of those three jobs or all three of those jobs, that they get pro rata unemployment benefits that at least keep them and their families going. In terms of additional support, they do need job search assistance, job training, job counseling. Wage insurance, I think, is a good idea. Now, whether all of this can be provided as sort of a personal account, I don't know. Again, it depends on how that account is designed.
Some people would probably criticize wage insurance, I would imagine, as a kind of slacker policy. If somebody wanted to take a lower-paying job where they didn't have to work as hard and then get compensated for part of the difference by the government, they'd be able to do it.
Well, on the other hand, you have a lot of people on the right who are complaining that we don't want unemployment insurance because it discourages people from even trying to find a job. Look, the fact of the matter is this. Most people who are unemployed want to work. Unemployment is not a great situation. Most people who qualify for unemployment benefits get unemployment benefits. They're only a fraction of what they were earning on the job when they lost their job. So, and you have three people who are out of work for every job opening in the country today anyway. It's not as if a lot of these people are sitting around on their hands collecting unemployment checks because they want to. They can't find a job because there are not jobs available. So what we need to do as a country is recognize we have a terrible jobs, recession, recovery, whatever you want to call it. It's still a jobs problem. We've got to make sure that we don't start cutting the budget deficit too early. I mean, that fiscal cliff that we have coming up in January is a tremendous problem for everybody, but also for the unemployed who have been unemployed for a long time, because it means that their chances of getting back into work may be even further delayed because the economy is not growing as fast as it otherwise would. We've got to make sure that local governments and state governments can rehire a lot of the people that they've laid off. That's a million jobs right there.
And last thing, on this notion of incentivizing employers to hire the long-term unemployed with tax credits from the government, that same Huffington Post article in June said not many people seem to have been hired as a result of the incentives in the HIRE Act. So maybe incentives like that don't work very well if you're just giving $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 to an employer, to subsidize a $30,000 a year job.
The incentives need to be large enough to make sure the employer wants to hire that person. The employer has got to know about those incentives, and that has been a problem. But thirdly, most importantly, an employer needs to hire somebody. That is, employers are not going to hire unless there are customers out there. And one of the biggest unspoken problems we have in this very sluggish recovery is that we don't have enough people out there in the vast American middle class and all the people who want to get into the middle class with enough money in their pockets to turn around and buy stuff. So employers are reluctant to hire, whether it's long-term or short-term unemployed. They're reluctant to hire because they don't have enough customers, because they're not, simply there are enough people out there with enough money.
Robert Reich, former Clinton Labor Secretary, now a UC Berkeley public policy professor. His latest book is called Beyond Outrage. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian.
And now another point of view from Diana Furchgott-Roth, economics advisor to the first President Bush, now a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and author of her new book, Regulating to Disaster, How Green Jobs Policies Are Damaging America's Economy. Ms. Furchgott-Roth, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
It's great to be with you. How are you doing today, Brian?
I'm doing great, thank you. So where would you start in framing the differences between Obama and Romney on helping the long-term unemployed?
Well, this is a very serious problem in our economy, and we heard that initial claims for unemployment insurance went up today to 382,000 from 367,000 last week. So the problem is, if anything, increasing with more people going on the unemployment insurance rolls rather than declining. And would there be numerous programs such as the ones that Mr. Reich suggested, such as the Comprehensive Employment Training Program, the Job Training Partnerships, and subsidizing employers to hire long-term unemployed has proved to be singularly ineffective. What I would do is try to move the economy forward, provide more uncertainty, give employers more certainty so that they can hire more workers. For example, taxes are scheduled to go up January 1st. Employers don't know what their taxes are going to be. With the new health care bill beginning in 2014, then employers are going to have to pay another $40,000 a year when they move from 49 to 50 workers. And that also discourages hiring if they don't have the right kind of health insurance.
Right. So you're getting into the larger economic approaches of Obama versus Romney. But there
That's
are also
right,
these
we
things.
Also have, because we also have over $1 trillion in deficits. We're borrowing 35 cents right. out of every dollar that we spend. And I didn't hear Mr. Reich saying how we were going to get that money to pay employers to hire the long-term unemployed.
And we'll talk more about those big picture differences on tomorrow's show, and our topic is economic growth. But they do both seem to talk about specifically targeted programs to help the long-term unemployed. And Romney seems to want employer credits, like Obama does to some degree, but tied to retraining long-term unemployed people that businesses hire, not just for hiring them. And at the same time, his site advocates ending federal retraining programs and giving the money as retraining block grants to the states because he thinks they'll be more effective. Do you like or dislike those ideas?
Well, I'm sure those will be more effective. It'll be more effective giving the money in block grants to the states than having the federal government from Washington decide how New York City, for example, should spend its money. But all this will be swamped by more economic growth from Romney's lower tax proposals if Congress should pass them. We have the highest corporate tax rate in the world at 35%. He's proposing it to lower it to about 25%. He's proposing to lower taxes across the board by 20%. He's proposing to repeal the new health care law, which means that employers wouldn't have to pay a penalty of $2,000 per worker if they don't have the right kind of health insurance, which they will have to do beginning in 2014. So possibly Romney's training proposals will have a small amount of effect, but there is nothing like economic growth to lower unemployment. We've seen that time and time again, and that is the best cure.
How about the thing that Romney said in the debate clip that we played, I don't know if you were on hold yet when we aired it, from one of the primary debates on Fox last August. He said, allow people to have a personal account which they're able to draw from as opposed to having endless unemployment benefits. So that was in response to the disagreement between Democrats and Republicans over how long to extend unemployment benefits for the long-term unemployed. He proposed this idea of personal unemployment accounts. Do you understand it?
Oh, yes, I do, because we were working on it when I was chief economist at the U.S. Department of Labor a few years ago. So the idea is, instead of stretching benefits out over a period of 26 weeks, or right now it's 99 weeks, give them all in a chunk right at the beginning, because that means people don't have to wait to get their full benefits to go back to work. And it's very important to get them back to work. The main advantage is that those could be used for relocating. So say that you live in New York and there are jobs in North Dakota, for example. You could use that chunk to move to North Dakota and take one of those jobs there where the unemployment rate is only 3%. Or say you want to have a training program. You could sign up for your training program right away with that money. So I think it's an excellent program, an excellent proposal, as long as it's understood that if the money runs out, people are not allowed to come back for more, because the obvious incentive is to use it all and then go back and say, well, I don't have a job. But I'm not sure this would help the long-term unemployed right now. These are people who've exhausted their 99 weeks of benefits. I don't know if Mr. Romney is proposing to give them an additional chunk of benefits on top of that now, and we need to work out what to do with them. For those people, top economic growth, higher economic growth trumps any of these training programs. But I would agree that restructuring unemployment insurance along the lines of personal accounts would be more effective.
And why is it, from a conservative perspective, so contentious extending unemployment benefits beyond 99 weeks, unless you assume that there are a lot of cheaters out there? But Secretary Reich was saying, look, the vast majority of people who are unemployed for more than 99 weeks certainly don't want to be.
Well, all the academic evidence shows that the longer the benefits, the longer the period of benefits, the more people stay out of work. They avoid taking a lower wage job. They look harder when they don't have any other options. It used to be the standard period of time was 26 weeks. We've more than doubled that to 99 weeks. There's anecdotal evidence of people waiting till the ends of their benefits to find jobs.
Is that what you want, though, a policy that encourages people to reenter the workforce at lower wages, in lower wage jobs than they had before, rather than look for something equivalent?
Absolutely. What you want to do is get them back in the workforce as soon as possible, because that way they have the skills of getting to work on time.
But that's a hit to their
day. They are out of work, the more their skills deteriorate. They abuse different kinds of substances. They spend the day watching TV. You need to get them back in the workforce.
But it's also a hit to their quality of life if they're not able to reenter at the same level or in the same industry that they were before, right?
Yes. Yes, Brian, but there are a lot of Americans right now who are working and who are on tough times. Why should we ask them to pay higher taxes to support unemployment benefits for people who have already had 99 weeks, which is practically 2 years of benefits? Right. We are not in any position with deficits over $1 trillion to be able to do that. And countries that have cut back on the length of unemployment insurance benefits, such as Germany, have seen declines in their unemployment rates. Germany's unemployment rate is around 6% now, far lower than ours, and it used to be much higher than ours. A few years ago, and we've now switched places.
So last thing, with respect to some of those same people who need to enter in worse jobs than they left, you heard Secretary Rice promote the part of Obama's Jobs Act that would be known as wage insurance for those forced to change to lower-paying careers, giving them some government funding to help bridge some of the difference in their between their old pay and their new pay. What's your reaction to that?
Again, I think it's an excellent idea, but wage insurance is what it says. It's insurance. And so what you do is you pay a certain amount every month, or your employer pays it for you and takes it out of your paycheck, so that that money is there for you when you are unemployed and you move to a lower wage job. We need to find ways to pay for these benefits. Again, it's not going to help the long-term unemployed right now because they haven't been in the wage insurance system. But these are excellent ways to be reforming unemployment insurance for people who are going to be unemployed in the future, people who are employed right now. We need to think about ways of reforming the system. But it's not going to help the long-term unemployed. For the long-term unemployed, we need economic growth. That means certainty over taxes, getting rid of the $2,000 per worker penalty for firms who want to expand from 49 to 50 workers, and lowering the corporate tax rate.
Diana Furchgott-Roth, who was, and maybe I got your past government work wrong. Did you work for President George W. Bush?
I worked for President George W. Bush, President George H.W. Bush, and President Ronald Reagan.
Thank you for clearing that up. Now a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, her new book is Regulating to Disaster, How Green Jobs Policies Are Damaging America's Economy. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me on your show, Brian.
And that's it for the debut of our presidential election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days. See all 30 at wnyc.org/issues. We've posted questions for all 30 so you can get the conversations going in advance of their radio days, wnyc.org/issues, or tweet your comments with the hashtag 30 Issues. Also, you can read some great articles related to today's issue on our site, thanks to longform.org. One of them is called Work by Ryan D'Agostino, about the struggle that male breadwinners are having adjusting to long-term unemployment. And don't forget, the WNYC Data News team is posting interactive graphics and other tools to illuminate the issues. The one up there today to go with this issue involves a comparison visually of recessions over the last 40 years, and it is quite striking. All at wnyc.org/issues. And tomorrow, issue number 2, which candidate would be better for economic growth? Coming up in just a minute, we'll talk about the breaking news this hour. New York City's Board of Health has passed that rule banning supersized sugary drinks at many eateries. Stay with us.